Now, this very first lesson here, I received some of these teachings here have come from Dutch Sheets Ministry as well. And so there'll be a whole lot of prophetic things, prophetic teachings, things for America, but also what God is speaking, I think, to individuals in the body of Christ. This first one's entitled Coming Full Circle. And this is a prophetic word, again, for America, but it's also an instructional word for the body of Christ. There's going to be a lot of good things in this. If you have a pen, try to fill in the blanks. There's going to be a few blank spots in these notes as well to take home. And by faith, I'm going to try to remember here to start putting, punching holes in these notes and start handing out notebooks like this. So you guys are kind of keep your own file on these Wednesday night teachings here and kind of go through these, because what's being taught here on Wednesday nights is going to be a little bit more meat than you're going to get milk on Sundays, even though some meat on Sundays as well. And it really is worthwhile to go ahead and go through these notes in the future and try to meditate upon things we've talked about here and let God bring more revelation to them, but also be not just hearers of the word, but also be doers of the word. This whole thing about coming full circle is certainly a teaching that you must put into practice. You cannot just hear this teaching as a regular Wednesday night teaching. It's got to be put into practice to have the effect it's going to have for your life. I'm excited here to be able to share some things here with this teaching tonight. We'll begin by looking at the power of our words. To be transformed by God, you got to realize that the Bible says we are made in the image of God, made in God's likeness. And God began and God birthed the entire universe and all of creation by his mouth, by speaking words. If he did that and he made us in his image, we've got to realize and somehow get a revelation that there is power in our tongues, there's power in our mouths, because the Spirit of God that lives in us wants to speak through us and bring creative things upon the face of the earth. Of course, the key thing there is you must be under submission to God, be in partnership with God, be hearing God's voice, so you're not speaking things that's your soul and your desires. You're getting the desires of God, his heart, and agreeing with what he wants done upon the face of the earth. I had a lot of these Chinese nationals. We had several single girls that were there in the meetings last Monday and Sunday morning in the church, about 300 people. They were really imploring us to bring our sons to them, because Rick Smith's got three single sons that are 22 years old or 31 years old, all single. And they said, please bring your sons back here next year. We want to meet them. And one young girl is very, very animated, very, very charismatic, and could be a comedian in Las Vegas probably. She said, we like boys. We like boys. Not girls. We like boys. Now, you bring some boys back here. So I made her no promise at all. We'll be back here again next year, but I much doubt it we'll have any boys with us, any young men. We'll just see how that works out. But what I'm saying here is, again, these guys, were really desiring, again, that God would work and move in their midst as well, to bring forth the grace and the power of God that he wants in that part of the world. Now, one thing that was interesting to me when I first came to Austin back in 1994 is a pastor who's got a word of knowledge, prophetic ministry that flows through him very strongly. It was here in Austin at the time. He was with me for a few minutes when he first came in the city and said, I really sense the Holy Spirit telling me that you're going to be going into Asia in the future. And so that's why when I go to places like Myanmar now, I realize, again, God's opened those doors up. God spoke that out of a person's mouth even back in 94, and I went to Asia for the first time probably about 5 or 6 years ago. But now we're seeing tremendous opportunities opening up more and more and more to go to places even like Myanmar and beyond. We have Jack Adams who came back from Nepal. We've gone to India last year, and so we're seeing that taking place. But also, the team that came through here a few months ago on a Wednesday night, prophetic team that came here, they said they saw our church getting involved more in touching Asia and Africa and also South America. So it's interesting that the guy who's with named Curtis Baker has now got tremendous inroads into Brazil. He's going to be going there himself in a few months, and not in Rio de Janeiro, but out there in the rural area in the mountains. And so we're going to see how God breathes on that. We may see teams here in due time or people going with us even to places like Brazil down the road. Of course, Ecuador is happening here this coming summer. And so that's what God's, I think, speaking to us about these nations as well and continents, okay? So I'm always aware of that. I hear those things, and then I see how God opens the doors to actually do it in due time. So we're going to give some familiar verses here. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, talks about the words of our mouth and our mouth being used as a force for creative good. And it says here, for assuredly I say to you, Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, that's also a very good scripture there about theology, because back in the very, very strong faith movement in the 70s and 80s, realize again that God birthed that movement because God wanted the body of Christ to receive truth and revelation about the power of our mouth, about our confession, about speaking things into existence. And so it's very, very good to have that. But of course, always there comes imbalances and extremes, every truth that comes to the body of Christ. And of course, the extremes back then was people said things like name it and claim it. Some folks were saying things like gab it and grab it. And we were doing things like confessing Cadillacs in our driveways. We were confessing gold-plated bathrooms and so forth and so on. They didn't read James totally, where James says, you have not because you ask not, and because you ask things to consume them on your own lusts. And so we got to understand again that there was an imbalance took place there, where the name it, claim it thing was about what we wanted, my kingdom come, my will be done, not so much what God desired many times in our lives. But the fact is, one extreme took place that was actually an error that says, don't even speak that you have cancer. If you get cancer, don't even say the words, I have cancer. Well, the Bible says right here, speak to the mountain, and the mountain will then be removed. So if I have a cancer, if I've got something in my, if my son's being bullied, that's a mountain I will speak to in the name of Jesus. I will command the cancer to die and be cursed at the root and go from me. And I declare that by his stripes I am healed. Amen. So you got to acknowledge the mountain is there. You got to see the mountain is there. You got to speak to the mountain, and then it will be, the Bible says, removed. Now, one problem also is mountains don't always leave in one day or one week or one month. It takes perseverance. It takes us persisting. It takes us not giving up when it comes to mountains that are in our lives as well. There are sometimes mountains in our lives that you'll need to speak to yourself as part of your discipleship and maturing in the Lord. I've seen how sometimes folks that get a disease or a sickness or whatever it may be on their bodies or their finances, whatever it may be like that, sometimes they go to all kinds of healing ministries. They go to faith ministries. They go to their local churches, their elders and pastors and other folks, the body of Christ, and they get prayed for until almost all the hair falls off their forehead, and they're still not seeing the breakthroughs take place. Well, for some reason, I've seen myself that many times what happens there is God tells a person eventually, I want you to stand in faith. I want you to speak to the mountain. I want you to go ahead and battle this thing also yourself with me, says the Lord. And I've seen how God brings sometimes breakthroughs by folks not always relying upon others praying for them. Nothing wrong with that. We should do that. And always as a first resort, we do that. The Bible even says to do that. But then if you're not seeing results taking place, I'm saying it may be time to just take a knuckle down, pray for yourself, speak to that mountain yourself, and see how God will work in your behalf by the power of his Spirit. Amen. And get folks to agree with you also about this. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 14 says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. And so it says all the things our hands do, God wants to bless that. But it says there's actually a connection with being blessed by the work of your hands and what comes out of your mouth. And so God wants those things to line up. Your mouth, your confession, what you speak with what your hands are actually doing upon the earth. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 2 says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. And so fruit actually comes forth from our mouth speaking things in agreement with the Lord God. So Jesus operated in this principle of speaking things out. The Bible says when he spoke to the fig tree, he said, all you have is leaves. I need fruit. And it says he cursed the thing at the root, and the roots died. And the next day, the whole fig tree was withered up and was totally dead. It shows how Jesus Christ did not pray to God. He didn't say, Father God, please, this thing's got no fruit on it. Please curse this thing. It says Jesus Christ spoke to the fig tree, and it was cursed, it withered up, and it died. The power and authority in his spirit needed to be released. You'll see how Jesus Christ would speak to demons. He would speak to sickness. He would speak to infirmities. He would not always say, I pray to you, about you, go God, please heal this person right now. He would just speak to the sickness and command that thing to go. And with that authority and power, great things took place through his life and ministry. And of course, the disciples did the same exact kind of praying themselves, who were trained by Jesus. Okay, your note says here, I think, next of all, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. And so the words that he spoke, the Spirit of God that lives in him, the Bible says, now lives in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, now lives in you and I. And so we have to have the same Spirit of God working through us to bring life out of our mouth. The Bible says that Jesus talked to storms, he spoke to winds, he spoke to waves, and commanded them, peace be still. And immediately it says, the wind stopped, the storm stopped, and there was peace and calmness upon that lake, the Sea of Galilee. He said also, Lazarus, come forth. He just spoke those words, and the dead man, who'd been dead for 4 days, now is alive. Just spoke the word, and there it was. He also said, get thee behind me, Satan, to Peter, whenever Peter said, don't go get crucified, don't die, don't do this or that. He said, get thee behind me, devil. You have not in mind the things of the Lord yourself, but the things of man. So you don't see Jesus always praying to the Father. You see him commanding mountains to be removed. When you see demons and devils and demonic works and evil things around you, those are mountains you speak to and command them to go in Jesus' name. All right? And this is always going to be matched again with humility, power, authority, the Word of God, faith, and sometimes, many times, perseverance as well. Isaiah 55, verse 11, it says this, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. Notice that word accomplish is in bold letters there. What I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Your note says here, the first blank is happening now. The word accomplish in this verse in the Hebrew language actually means to create. The word of God that comes out of my mouth, it shall create, it shall accomplish the thing that I want it to accomplish, okay? And so God's word out of our mouth and his word in the Bible that comes forth brings creative things upon the face of this earth. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. That word perform is the same Hebrew word as the word accomplish in Isaiah 55, verse 11. So it means one more time, it means to create. You have seen well, for I am ready to create my word or bring forth a creative thing from my word. And God creates things today by the word as spoken out of Christians' mouths that are full of God's Spirit as well. God was telling Isaiah and Jeremiah he was going to accomplish and perform and create things on the earth through the words he gave them, and they spoke. Now again, this message tonight, this teaching is called Full Circle. I'm going to be trying to encourage you folks tonight to have ears to hear, because God, I believe, is going to give us a transforming work and power and rhema tonight to see some things that have not been breaking loose in our lives. God wants them to break loose and come forth this season, this hour, by the power of his Spirit. I've heard time and time again that 2015 is actually prophetically a year of Jubilee. Jubilee years are years where all the things the enemy has stolen from you get paid back to you. It's also a time where God sets into motion continued blessings. Not just blessings for this year, but blessings ongoing beyond this year. For 2016, 2017, you say, wait a minute, isn't there going to be an economic collapse, a mark of the beast, and all these things around us? Well, yes, in the world system, there might be all kind of calamities break out. But we don't belong to the world's system. We belong to the kingdom of Almighty God. Whenever we see darkness break loose around us, it brings forth opportunities to the body of Christ. You want to see it in the Bible, you're going to see it take place in our lifetime. So your note says next of all here, God wants us to come into agreement with the words. The word words goes in that blank spot. With the words that have been spoken over us, both the written word and the prophetic word. I encourage you again to read your Bible every day and you'll grow, grow, grow. Because What God writes in the Logos, Word of God, the Bible, can actually bounce off the pages and bring forth a divine appointment in your life that gives you exactly what you need to have to see a breakthrough take place in whatever area you may be facing a problem in. God can do that. God's going to answer for every problem the world or the devil can throw at us in this life. Amen? And it's found in the Bible, someplace, somewhere, God has a solution in the Bible about your dilemma, your problems, and what you're facing in life. But also, you've had prophetic words spoken over you, perhaps by people, men and women of God that are prophetic. They have spoken words over you, and I encourage you to write those things down. Bring out those old papers from the past, perhaps, and say, Father God, this is what you said through your servants that I agreed with. It bore witness in my spirit, and I believe, oh God, today in 2015, what you spoke back then is going to come to pass in Jesus' name. Now, God spoke many things over Cheryl and I's life way back in the 80s, even in the 70s, late 70s, and 90s as well. Some of those things are coming to pass right now. Some things have not come to pass yet. God even gave me a vision back in 1978 that has not come to pass yet about me doing some things in Africa that I haven't seen totally manifest yet, but I know they will come to pass in due time and due season. So I'm believing God again to speak these things out here. Even over our own local church called Tree of Life Church, God has spoken things over this church that are still yet to come to pass. And so I must, as a pastor, man of God, be prophesying and agreeing with what God has said here that it will come to pass and speak those words out in Jesus' name. Timothy had a church in Ephesus of over 100,000 people. That's a big church. I think Yonggi Cho's church has about 100,000 or so today as well, one of the biggest churches in the world. And he was being maligned for his youth by the Christians in Ephesus. And he was becoming fearful and going through a thing called intimidation because they were telling him how young he was, you're too inexperienced, you're a greenhorn, how can you run a church this big? Well, the good news was he had Paul the apostle that birthed the church in Ephesus coming alongside him and prophesying to him and instructing him not what man was saying, but what God was saying. Paul tells Timothy in the book of Timothy, read that yourself sometime. He says, take the prophetic words spoken over you and use them in warfare against all the intimidation, all the naysayers, and all those who malign you and cut you down. You speak out what I said, what God said by His Spirit, prophetically even. And it says there, don't be timid, don't be fearful, don't tremble, don't be afraid. Be strong, be courageous. I have anointed you, I have appointed you, and I will help you out, says the Lord. Paul even told Timothy, fan into flame the gifting that your own grandmother, I think Lois, had, that's also now in you. It's in you, prophesied, it's in you. So fan that thing into flame. How do you do that? You speak out what was in your grandmother in the name of Jesus Christ and see it fanned into flame. Some of you guys have got some things that are smoldering inside your spirit that God wants to fan into flames in this hour, this season. But he's waiting for you to use your mouth, exercise your faith, and agree with what God says about you, about your children, about your grandchildren, about this city of Austin. And quit trying to take and see all the negative things around us. That's what Satan tries to do. He shows us all the bad things that kill, steal, and destroy. And start speaking out the things that God sees over America, over Austin, over the world, over your family, by the power of God. All right? In Revelation chapter 1, verse 2, it starts out in Revelation talking about a observation that God sees in the churches around Israel and that are around the known world in that time. These are all big, thriving churches, but most of these churches, God had a problem with them, and he started speaking some things out of his mouth by the Spirit of God to John on Patmos about things he saw in these churches. So chapter 1, verse 2, it says, who bore witness to the word of God. God wanted these churches to be rearranged, okay? And so your note says, next of all, the word in Revelation chapter 1, verse 2, and many times in the New Testament when you see the word, the word of the Lord, if you see the word, that word in the Greek is the Greek word debar. Debar means to arrange things. The word arrange goes there. It means to arrange things. So when you start agreeing with what God says, with God's word, and saying what God says about the situation or yourself, that which the enemy says will become disarranged, God will rearrange, and God will bring arrangements to what is out of order in a city, in a family, in a church, in your mind, in your life. The word of the Lord will take and arrange things according to God's kingdom desires, not the devil's and not the flesh, okay? So when you speak the word, it actually releases an anointing, a presence, a power of God to start arranging things for your good in your life. So if your kids right now are hooked on dope, they're doing all kind of rebellious things, and they're acting totally far from God, they have been rearranged by the devil, okay? It's time to get them back arranged with what God wants. So start speaking over them, the will of God, the desires of God, that God may arrange them again in the place that God wants them to be at in their lives. Okay, moving on. Doesn't God's word say, I have brought them together for godly offspring in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. It says here, when a man and woman get married, they get married because God wants to bring forth godly offspring. That's a good scripture to take and quote and speak when your children start messing up and doing rebellious things. I got married to my wife. I got married to my husband because God's word says in Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, it is for the purpose of godly offspring. I declare my children are godly in Jesus' name. We have come together as one flesh in the spirit of Almighty God in holy matrimony, and I declare we have godly offspring as a result, according to God's word. God is waiting for us to speak words like that in faith, that he may start acting in our behalf. And you would just be amazed how God really can do things that will just blow you away to bring forth arrangements and order and coincidences that are blessings in people's lives. Your notes next of all, in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Logos of God. This means the message, the connector. It means the builder. The word builder goes in that blank spot. So again, the word Logos means the message of God, the connector of God, and the builder of God. The Logos connects, the Logos builds, the Logos gives a message, because Jesus Christ was the messenger and the message of salvation to the Lord. You already heard of, y'all have seen Legos toys that all of us step on in the night and almost break our feet, that our kids scatter all over the carpets and all over the floor. Well, these Legos actually came from this root word, Lego, which is where Logos comes from. The guy that invented Legos knew that because they're connectors, they're builders. We build, we connect, we have a message come out by our Legos being connected together. That's just how prayer is. The Logos, Word of God, will connect things together. It will build things. It'll bring forth a message that is right from God's kingdom. So God arranges things with our words, but he also builds things with our words. We're talking about transformations here. And so if we start taking 5 or 10 minutes every day, starting tomorrow, and start saying, Father God, there's this mountain in my life. Help me, Lord God, to speak for 5 or 10 minutes against this mountain in agreement, God, with what you say about this mountain. Because God has something to say about every mountain we face in this life. Amen. There's a mountain in Austin, Texas, of thousands not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We shouldn't curse the darkness and curse the homosexuals and curse the drug addicts and curse the educated and liberals and whatever else. We must speak to the mountain what God says. I would that none would perish, but all would come to repentance to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I declare that there's no man, no woman, no boy, no girl in Austin who is too far gone that cannot be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ before they die upon the face of this earth. I declare there's workers, there's laborers, there's coincidences, there's dreams that are coming forth there. Whatever God puts in your heart to speak about, I'm saying speak for 5 or 10 minutes a day, starting tomorrow, if you can do this, about mountains that God wants to see crumbled out of your life, okay? I encourage you to do this as a homework assignment from tonight. You'll be amazed what will take place around you. Okay, God will bring arranging, God will bring connecting, God will bring building. Next of all, it says, to come full circle, It means that God is going to allow us to do some things again, but with more power and more authority and with greater revelation. What I'm saying is, maybe back in your teens, your 20s, you were leading folks to Christ. You were seeing healings taking place. You were teaching Sunday school classes. You were counseling people. You were seeing folks at your job getting saved. And maybe now time has gone by and you see a lull in that. What God is saying is, God's ordaining in this season, this hour, the body of Christ starts coming full circle and revisits the wells to redig them once again. But this time, more revelation, more power, more results, and more fruit than even back years or decades ago when you first began. Can you receive that? God's bringing the body of Christ. God's prophetically ordained the body of Christ to start coming back full circle where they began. He told the Laodicean church, what did he tell them? You have forgotten and lost your first love. Go back and do what you did before. I will breathe on that, and then through that bring you more fruit, more productivity, more anointing, more favor, and more lasting things in your life. We see this take place in Samson. Samson started out strong. He fought the Philistines, got involved in some fleshly things, some jealousy and anger and so forth. Got put on the backside of the desert. His eyes got poked out, got captured by the Philistines. But then at the very last part of his life, what happens? Samson says, please, O God, help me get revenge for my eyes, whatever else. And God killed more Philistines through Samson in his death at the end of his life than the entire part of his life combined before that. He came back full circle with his hair grown back. His anointing came back, and he did more at the end than he did at the beginning. Job also. Job came full circle. He was very rich, very wealthy, very influential, very wise, lost everything, lost all his influence. All the people that were actually scoundrels in town made fun of him, laughed at him. He became a joke in town. And then, of course, we all know that God then shows up, heals him, delivers him, and brings back, the Bible says, double for his trouble. And he had twice as much at the end of his life than he had at the very beginning part of his adulthood upon the earth. So he came back full circle. God's ordained for you guys, all of us, to come back full circle, I believe, in this hour and this season. Things that God breathed on years ago, God's going to redig those wells once again with more anointing, more wisdom, more maturity, more power than you've ever seen before in the name of Jesus. Can you believe God for that? In Hebrews, the Hebrew language, the word testimony. This is also a very good thing to catch on to tonight. The word testimony actually means to do it again. It means a continuation of something that happened and now continues to happen. The word continues goes in that blank spot. So your testimony, when you speak your testimony out, you are declaring again what God did in the past. Also what's happening there is you're causing a momentum and an anointing and a power to get released that brings a continuation of what God did in your life, perhaps weeks, months, or even years ago. To make this more clear, the Jewish people, the rabbis, they believe that when you tell what God did, it releases the same power that was there to make it happen to begin with. That's why the Jews are very careful to tell their children all the stories of God's miracle works in the Old Testament. Because they believe, when they talk about the parting of the Red Sea by Moses, the same power that parted the Red Sea gets imparted to their children. They may also believe that God today can do the same miracles now that he did back then. They believe whenever they start telling those stories, God's in the room, God's listening, and God releases something in their children that causes the same power Moses saw to take place in their children. The Bible is very, very carefully clear to always tell your children and your grandchildren the stories of what God did in the Bible. Not for just entertainment and not to make them just impressed with God for how powerful God is, but to actually release something in their spirits that brings forth results in their crisis upon the face of this earth. Okay? So, it cycles back again and again. The Jews even tell about how they've seen God heal people's bodies. When they've talked about what God did to heal Naaman or heal leprosy, or heal things in the Old Testament. They say when they start speaking those words, those stories out, they've actually seen God show up in the room and heal people instantly because of stories being told about what God did. Could this be why it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and did not love their lives to the death? The common thread among these three things that overcomes the devil is the word power. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen? And there's also, I've seen when martyrdom take place, when someone gets killed for Jesus Christ and lays their life down at the hands of a Muslim radical, at the hand of whatever, as a martyr, the blood of martyrs, God always sees that, and it brings spiritual breakthroughs every single time. You might have saw that movie in the past called Transformations about the guy in Guatemala in a demon-possessed city run by witches and warlocks and Satanists, how a pastor was finally gunned down and killed in his driveway by the mob, by the mafia, by people involved in black magic. Because he died, a breakthrough takes place in that city, and almost the entire place is saved within a year. 90% come to Christ. And because of that, witches start either moving out or getting delivered and getting saved. Vegetables start getting 10 times their size. The cursed ground gets blessed. Businesses start flourishing. Crime goes totally out the door. And all of a sudden, God shows up. So there's power in martyrdom. There's power in the blood. But there's also power in your testimony. What God is saying is, when you give people at your workplace how God saved you, how God healed you, when you speak those words out, the Bible's actually saying to us, there's an anointing and a power released by your words that permeates the atmosphere of your workplace and actually creates an atmosphere of a miracle or a salvation right there where you're at in your workplace. They overcame him by the power, by the word of their testimony. So don't ever diminish how powerful your testimony really is. It is a powerful force. It releases a spiritual dynamic that brings forth faith and brings forth God in the room to do a miracle or a salvation that will just blow us away as well. Okay, going on here. In communion, for another example here. That's why it's important for us to that are redeemed of the Lord. The Bible says the redeemed of the Lord should say so because they're redeemed. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 and verse 30. You can read this yourself sometime. It says, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many die or fall asleep, it says here, which means to die. So what is being said here is, when you take and drink this cup on Sunday mornings at Tree of Life Church once a month and eat that bread, and all you think about is the sins you've done and how unworthy you are to receive this cup and receive this bread, the Bible says you're speaking judgment to yourself. And because you're doing that, you're judging yourself, condemning yourself, and getting guilty about all the sins you've done, you're gonna find no benefits take place in your body from serving communion. But those who realize that by his stripes we're healed, that God loves us, God's for us, do this in remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done for us. When they drink the cup and eat the bread, there's actually a spiritual anointing released that actually can bring healing into your body on that Sunday morning service. I guarantee that's the truth. But you got to discern the Lord's body, discern what he did for you when he died on the cross and he rose again. Do this in remembrance of me, says the Lord, okay? So hope that brings a shift right now in your own mind. You're thinking when you come in to serve there, don't think about your sins, how rotten you are, all the bad things you've done, that you're unworthy to receive this cup and this bread. Don't think about that. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time to think about what Jesus did for you by that blood and by that broken body upon the cross and before the cross, okay? And through that, there won't be sick folks and folks that are falling asleep, dying prematurely. Next of all, your note says, when you see the word remembered in the Old Testament, it's about something being brought up that God spoke about, and now it's matched with his power and activity. The word activity goes in that next blank spot. So when you see the word remembered in the Old Testament, it's not trying to say that God has got a brain that he can't think of all things. And so God just all of a sudden remember. Oh, yeah, I remember that now. I remember I did say that, didn't I? No, that we all know that God knows all things. God remembers all things. When it says remember there, it means what is being remembered there is being spoken out now, is now being matched with the power and the activity of God when it says the word remembered. So the Bible says, for example, God remembered Hannah, that she was barren. And when God remembered that Hannah was barren, he chose to go ahead and open up her womb and give her a baby, and she became pregnant. She bore a child, the Bible says. God remembered Samson. Whenever he cried out and said, "Oh God, help me get revenge for my eyes," God remembered Samson. God brought the anointing back on him once again, and he caused those pillars to fall down and killed the Philistines in his death. And also the Bible says God remembered Abraham and delivered him from his enemies all around. So whenever God remembers things, when you speak things out, you're putting God in remembrance of what God's already said in your life. And God's activity and God's power is released by you taking and reminding or speaking out the things that God's spoken about you in your situations in your life. So when God remembers, power starts flowing. I want to tell folks that are newer here again tonight, but I know I read this by divine coincidence. This is about 1996 when we first moved to Austin. I started going to the library in Round Rock, and I started checking out historical books about Williamson County. And I was amazed to see that back in the 1800s, a revival was so big in Williamson County. They said the fear of God, respect for God, the awe of God was so strong. People were going to prayer meetings all day long, sometimes all week long. And all the folks said that God had told them, don't work on the Sabbath on Sundays. You be in church. You be honoring that day there as holy to the Lord. One farmer in Williamson County, this book said, this is a secular writer wrote this down. We just decided to go ahead and harvest his crops on a Sunday anyway. It says a meteorite came out of the heavens and smashed into his field and blew up and burned up half his crop. And so they realized, like Ananias and Sapphira, the fear of an awesome respect of God was so strong and so heavy that God was judging things and bringing things about fast and quick by the revival that swept in these counties 100 years ago. I want to put God in remembrance of what he did here 100 years ago in Williamson and Travis counties. Because those folks back there, they were crying tears, they were going to the ground, they were praying prayers, they were prophesying that God would touch this city on an ongoing basis down the road. That's why the warfare has been so strong in this city. That's why there's such a great, great battle here in so many ways, in demonic ways in this city, because Satan got very threatened by what he saw happening here over 100 years ago. Could it be time to redig the wells and go full circle on what God did here over 100 years ago? I think God would want us to believe him for that. Amen? So, what is there in your life that you used to put God in remembrance of? He will start releasing that power all over again. What has died in your life? What has been smoldering in your life? What have you almost given up on and hope in your life? Those may be the very things that God says, put me in remembrance of what those things were that you have seen become dormant in your life, that I may redig those wells and bring you back full circle, even better than before. Moving on. Some things that God wants to bring back full circle that you've forgotten about. And so there's some things here perhaps we actually prayed about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and we've now forgotten what they even were. I'm encouraging you guys, pray to the Holy Spirit, pray to God. God, remind me what you had me praying about and believing you for, even 15, 20 years ago. Last of all here, look at the victory of David over Goliath. This is very, very powerful. These revelations that are here, I hadn't seen these before, most of these. In the victory of David and Goliath, we've all heard the story, the sermons in 1 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath. They know all things about this, but there's still some great spiritual truths to learn from this. First of all, the Philistines, the Bible says, in 1 Samuel 17, they were in a place called Soko, and Israel was in the valley of Elah. These are the two valleys that these guys faced each other in every day and did not fight. Now, the significant thing here is these valleys of Soko and Elah are in Judah. Judah belonged to God. Judah belongs to God. Judah is where Jesus came from. Judah is a place of covenant. No person of non-covenant belongs owning land or should own any land in Judah. So where David also is from Judah. David's from this place here of this land of his birth. He knew that God gave that land to the Israelites and to the tribe called Judah. David did not call the giant Goliath. You won't find the Bible anywhere David calling him by name Goliath. Every time David calls him, you uncircumcised Philistine. Isn't that kind of a strange thing to call a guy? Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? What's that mean? Uncircumcised means he's a person of no covenant. All of God's covenant people were circumcised as a sign of shedding blood for covenant to the Lord. So he told the guy, who are you, you uncovenant person who has no covenant with my God, and I have covenant with my God? Uncircumcised Philistine. Saul, the Bible says, offered David his armor. Now, David, of course, rejects his armor. And the reason that is because he says, I cannot fight this giant on your history. I must fight this giant on my history, my testimony, what I've gone through, not what you've gone through, okay? It's very, very important to understand that. God may use folks in this room in ways that you were powerfully used by God in the past. God may redig that once again and bring forth tremendous breakthroughs for the body of Christ by your history in the Lord in times past. Amen? Okay, in chapter 17, verse 36, David says, your servant, David, has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. So the Bible says David takes his staff in one hand. And why does he do that? In Israel's culture, the staff used by shepherds always had carvings of stories, picture stories on it. Israel's language is pictures. China's language is pictures. The symbol for China is a circle with a line going through it. It means the whole world revolves around us. That's what China believes. And so everything in China is pictures. All things in Hebrew also are pictures. And so the Hebrews would take and they would carve pictures in their life history on their staff. On the staff of David was probably a dead lion and a dead bear and a prophet pouring oil over his head named Samuel. All the things that made a big difference in David's life were on his staff. So he takes his history, takes his staff in his hand. The Bible goes on and says, he moves on beyond that. He takes stones, the Bible says, next of all, out of the brook. Now, the word brook in the Hebrew language actually is the word inheritance. Why would God make a brook and inheritance mean the same thing? Because it conveys the message that you now have the strength and ability to determine where the inheritance goes. Because in a brook, whenever water goes into a brook, the brook then determines where the water goes. When you receive an inheritance from your granddad or your father, you then determine where the inheritance goes. So David takes the five smooth stones from the place called the inheritance that they may go where he wants them to go in the forehead of the giant to bring him down. So God is saying to you and I prophetically here, you got your history in one hand, you've got your inheritance in the other hand, and you bring in the five smooth stones, and the number for grace is five. You bring in the grace of God, and the grace of God empowers the five smooth stones. He empowers your history. He empowers your activity. He empowers your inheritance, and he causes every high thing that would exalt itself by the will and knowledge of God to become tumbling down in Jesus' name. You see how God brings all that together in the story of David and Goliath. So I want to say again, David grasped his history with one hand reached into his inheritance. On the other hand, takes five smooth stones, the number of grace. And you can see that all that was stacked against Goliath, there were so many things actually stacked against this giant. Because Goliath was on God's land. He was on God's inheritance. He was not in covenant with God. He had no history with God. And the grace of God was on the side of David and the armies of Israel. And so Goliath was in trouble. And God took that stone and God empowered it and God guided it and God led that thing right in the forehead of the devil himself and brought that giant tumbling down to die by the power of Almighty God. So I'm saying to you guys again that God will take your history and God will take your inheritance, your destiny, your calling, and he'll bring those things together by his grace. And he'll send them out into every mountain you face in life if you'll just speak what God speaks to that mountain in Jesus' name. Amen? One more proof that David was reaching into his history. The word Judah, we all know what it means. It means praise. You got to realize that actually Judah does not mean praise only, because praise is only a derived meaning of the word Judah. Judah actually means one who raises or extends his hands. It also means he who throws a stone. It means that. And it means to throw out your hands, lift up your hands, and praise the Lord. That's why we charismatics, full gospel, Pentecostal, whatever's, we raise our hands to God because it's extending our hands out, it's raising our hands in praise that God may fight for us and go with us in Jesus' name. Amen? So I encourage you guys to try and break through your background barriers there about lifting up your hands to God. It's a symbol of I am praising God, extending my hands out to God. I am throwing stones against my Goliaths in praise and worship in Jesus' name. David could have tried to master the lance, the battle axe, the sword, spears. All these things were available to him back in this era. But he chose a stone and sling because Judah means to throw out your hands and to sling a stone. He goes back to his spiritual DNA and he fights his mountains the way he knows best with a stone and a sling from the tribe of Judah. And God says, use what you know best, do what you do best, and you do that with God's help, and God's grace will be there to bring those giants down by his power. David found the grace he needed that day in his history. Okay, now, the Bible says also, moving on here in 2 Samuel, that David had five mighty men. One of those mighty men's names was Shammah. Shammah in 2 Samuel 23, it says he was famous to God in the Bible because he defended a pea garden. Isn't that weird? Not a palace, not a king, not an inheritance, not gold, not treasures, not a nation. He defended a pea garden full of lentils. And God put him in the Bible for doing that against the Philistines. Now, why would God do that? Well, if you go back in history and do more digging, you're going to find out the pea garden that Shammah saved and killed the Philistines and tried to attack it was the exact spot Goliath fell and died at the hand of David. The Philistines were saying, you won that battle. We're going to come back full circle. And we're going to take back what your God took from us. Shammah says, oh, no, you're not. This is where your giant hero died. And we shall keep this land in the power of Almighty God. And Shammah rose his sword against them and killed all of them with the power of Almighty God. He says the devil is not going to come back and take what he had before. The devil, your note says this, the devil sees how God operates. How many folks have realized, you all know by now, that Satan is not an inventor or a creator. He only imitates what God does. He said in Isaiah 14, I will make myself like the Most High. Whatever I see God do, I see it works. So I'm going to do what God does, only I'm going to do it better. I'm going to do it in a better way. We all know, though, that Satan's insane. He's a lunatic. So he tries doing things in a better way, but he always outplays his hand and ends up on the wrong side of the stick, so to speak. So the devil sees how God operates. in full circle principles, he knows that it works. He will try to bring some things on you full circle to take you out if he can. It's worked for him time and again in 6,000 years dealing with mankind. We've seen it work time and again. It worked on Moses. The very beginning of Moses' ministry, what's Moses do? He sees an Egyptian killing a Hebrew. Anger flares up, kills the Egyptian in his flesh, and finds himself on the backside of the desert for 40 years, getting his character worked on by God. And then he goes into Israel, parts of the Red Sea, 10 plagues come out, Israel's delivered, they're in the wilderness wandering there, they see the Jordan River, they see the Promised Land, and what does Moses do? Satan shows up, and they're grumbling, griping, complaining, and God says, speak to the rock and water will come out, they want water, they're thirsty, and Moses takes his rod in anger and can't control his temper, and he strikes the rock, water gushes out by the anointing, but God said, because you would not honor me, in the presence of my people, you will not enter into the land of Canaan with your feet. Only your eyes will see it from afar off. Full circle, Satan works the same at the beginning of his ministry and the end of his ministry. And unfortunately, Moses failed that last little test there and could not walk on the promised land. It worked also on Jonah. Jonah was a great evangelist, a great prophet, used by God to preach and teach and win many folks to God, I'm sure. But then, of course, he's got his own family, though. There's some kind of a problem there with prejudice that never gets dealt with. The end of his life, we find him going to Nineveh. He's spit out on dry land by a whale. And he gets mad at God because God saves Nineveh. And he finds himself brooding, complaining, griping to God. I heard Robbie Zacharias last night on TV. Great genius of the Gospels and theology and so forth. He said, God said to him, do you have a right to be angry about what you're going through? And it says that in the Hebrew language, Jonah actually was so mad at God, he said, I have a hell of a right to be mad at you. He actually was cursing at God, giving God bad language. That's how mad he was. And the sad thing is Jonah found himself in the backside of the desert, not reaching Nineveh. You don't hear about him anymore in the Bible at all. Satan came back to him full circle by prejudice and caused problems for his life. And last of all, Peter almost came full circle with Satan's victory. Because we find Jesus Christ finds Peter washing his nets, fishing for fish. He goes through all the great things with Christ for 3.5 years of discipleship. Christ dies on the cross. And here comes Jesus back. He denies Christ 3 times. And Christ comes back after he dies on the cross, is raised again. What's he find Peter doing? Full circle, back at his old job, fishing for fish once again. But by the grace of God, Jesus pulls Peter back and says, lovest thou me more than these? Then you go feed my sheep. And by the grace of God, God did a powerful thing in Peter's heart. He repented, he broke, he got back on the right track and did a great work for God that was even greater the rest of his life. So what I'm saying here in closing now today is, James can help me out perhaps as well on the platform, please. God is working full circle in our lives, and he wants us to remember what he promised and what he has done for victories in our lives in times past. Some of us that are here today have got to realize the devil also will try to bring things full circle because he saw what worked years ago. He'll bring the same temptations to us sometimes way down the road. And it may be more powerful the second time he brings those things back. But God primarily brings things to us for the good, for the benefit, and for life. I want to close tonight in prayer and ask God again to show us, reveal to us the things that he wants to bring back to us full circle and breathe on in this hour, this year, this season. We might start speaking things out in faith, believing God to bring breakthroughs in us and through us for things we should be believing God for in this hour. It may be your health. It may be for your children, your grandchildren. It might be for your own spiritual health. It might be for finances. It might be something besides all of that. But I'm saying, let's start saying to God, believing God, that starting tomorrow, sometime tomorrow, I'm going to take time to speak to my mountains. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to take a hold of my history. I'm going to take a hold of God's promises and my inheritance. I'm going to see God's grace bring them together. And I'm going to send them out by the word of my mouth, by the word of God's word, by the word of God's Spirit, and see these mountains start crumbling down in due time, in Jesus' name. Well, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed right now to pray for a moment. Notice that Goliath was greater than the lion and the bear. Goliath was 9 feet tall. He had a huge spear and shield and armor. He could kill any lion, kill any bear himself for how great he was. So God brought David before a bigger foe than he faced before. But what God is saying to you and I is, in your history, you have surely had some victories on lions and bears, but now you might be facing a Goliath. God is saying the same God who killed the lion and killed the bear is alive today to also kill your Goliath. If you'll just believe him, that nothing is too hard for your God. Father, I praise you and thank you, God, this day that you are bigger. You have bigger things for us to conquer than we've ever seen conquered before in the past. And I pray, oh God, we pray together, reveal to us mountains you want to see crumble before us. We might be facing mountains of depression, mountains of insecurity and fear like Timothy had, mountains perhaps of jealousy, mountains perhaps of sickness or disease, mountains of rebellious children, hardened hearts, mountains of poverty, reversals and disasters in our finances, our marriages, our relationships. Father, help us, oh God, to know, to start digging into your word and finding out what scriptures say about the mountains we face in life. Let us realize that no mountain is too big, but what God cannot see that mountain crumble, be plucked up and cast into the sea by the power of Almighty God. Show us our history. Show us the things to remember that you've done for us in the past. Let us, oh God, use the word of our testimony to bless our co-workers, to bless our neighbors, to bless our family members who need healing in their bodies, need financial breakthroughs in their lives, need their marriages healed the way you healed our marriages. Let the word of our testimony, God, be used, utilized, and bring forth, God, results that are lasting. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Austin, Texas. Help us, God, at Tree of Life Church, to speak what you speak over this city. Help us, God, not agree with the devil. Let us agree, oh God, with what you agree with, what you say, oh God, about our city and about our nation and about our leaders and about the peoples of the earth, even the Muslim people, oh God, as well. Help us to speak over them salvation, life and harvest and discipleship in the name of Jesus.